Praise God. Good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. Welcome those who are joining with us online. We continue our series in the book of Galatians. We're thankful for a study that we had last week with Pastor Stephen. He began to help us to understand the main theme of the book of Galatians is that we could have freedom in Christ through faith in him, the grace that he bestows. And Stephen spoke so effectively last Wednesday on no other gospel. We pick up this evening, if you have your Bibles, in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at some key passages from Galatians 1 through chapter 2, verse 10. But before I begin, I just want to read one verse from the book of Romans, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith." Let's turn over to the book of Galatians. We want to talk this evening on the theme that Paul sets forth in just in these closing verses of chapter 1, not from man. So let's begin at verse 11. We're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12 briefly, and then we're going to be moving into the key passages following into chapter 2. But Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." This was such a special and unique ministry to Paul's life. And we'll look at the background in a few minutes of where this took place. But God revealed the gospel, the good news that Paul was going to be called to share to the Gentile world. And as Paul was on the road to Damascus, God met him there through the person of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to the church at Galatia that recognizing that there's no other gospel, and the gospel that came to Paul basically is simply this. It was not from any human origin. It had no teaching agency, but it was through the revelation directly, uniquely, at that particular time, from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. We see the early life of the Apostle Paul in the verses that follow. For it says in verse 13, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." Verse 14, "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who set me apart," this is a key verse, "but when he had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." I'm thankful for the transformation in Paul's life. And I want to just spend a few minutes, and I hope you can rejoice with me, because isn't the Paul's testimony your testimony tonight? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the story of the before in your life and the after. And praise God. Give him praise tonight, Bethany. Let's thank him tonight that we're not the same men and women we used to be. And the Apostle Paul would say to those here in Galatia that you've heard of my life in Judaism, how he was steeped and taught. And Philippians 3, if you read another passage, talks about Paul's background, all that he went into his development in the Jewish traditions. And he said, eventually, "I count that all lost for the greatness of knowing Christ, my Savior and my Lord." But people heard of his life in Judaism, how he persecuted the church of God violently. He was what we would know in that day is only the grace of God. Paul turned from being a terrorist to being an evangelist. That's the grace of God. And we thank God for what he's done in each of our lives. So we look at Paul's life here. He's writing to the church at Galatia that this gospel, there's no other gospel. It came from God. And it wasn't from human origin, but Paul's life was changed completely. And we recognize what takes place in these verses. He was advancing in Judaism. He was extremely zealous for the traditions of his father. And it's not just the beginning of a travel itinerary. It's not just Paul touting all the places that he's been, but he is a changed man when he goes into the Gentile world and preaches the gospel of good news to these people. Paul's life before Jesus in Philippians 3, read it yourself. After he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, this is the same individual, Paul, who organized attempts to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sanctioned the death of Stephen, one of the faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was persecuting the church and trying everything he could to destroy it. And we find in Paul's life the before and the after. And there was always many questions. The whole time that Paul is writing to the Galatians, he's defending that there's only one gospel. It did not come from any other source but God himself. But he's always been questioned of his authority, and the gospel he's preaching is a gospel of grace and not of works, or not of following the traditions of men. And there were many questions continually against Paul's authority, against knowing his background was so different from what he's proclaiming now. But you know what, I thank God? All the questions that were raised against Paul, all the innuendos that he wasn't a real true apostle. There are times in your life when you came to know Christ that family or friends would bring up and try to explain your life away. But you know what they couldn't do in Paul's life? And I'm thankful here in Bethany, many of you who have come to know Christ as your Savior and Lord would say, I'm not the same person I was years ago or a few months ago. That was, I said earlier, that was before. But there's one thing that a family member or people that you work with tomorrow can't explain away, and that's a changed life. Because Paul says to the church at Corinth, the same one that we're talking about here, says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul would write to the church at Rome, the fact in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul would remind the believers there in Rome of the great truths of God's word and recognizing what God could say to them there in Rome. And Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 8, these words. He says this, let me go back to Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Christ died for us. How many are glad tonight that Jesus Christ paid it all for you? And that there's an after story. There's a new story. This whole chapter that we're looking at, chapter 1, verse 11 through chapter 2, verse 10, is God's rescue story. God did in Paul's life and that could not be explained away. They might question you tomorrow. They might scratch their head. How many have sometimes have said to you, oh, we have heard, we knew you when, you know, we don't see that much difference in your life. I knew you when you did this, or when you used to go there, or the crowd you used to run with, or that's just a fad in your life. That's something that'll pass. That's just something that is kind of like a crutch. It's just something you people need for Sundays or emergencies. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that new life in Christ is nowhere near just being a crutch or something I lean on in Sundays or emergencies, but I've learned to trust in Jesus. I need to trust him more now in the days we live than ever before. Sometimes somebody might say to you, oh, you know, you'll get over it. That's just something that's caught your attention for a short time. But praise God, Paul would say, I'm saved by grace. I'm walking daily in the Holy Spirit. The whole book of Galatians will help us to see the importance to understand how to walk by the Spirit with faith and freedom. Praise God. He goes on to say, in Galatians chapter 1, he says in verse 16, let me go back to verse 15 for a minute. That key word, but when he who set me apart before I was born, God had a plan and purpose even before Paul was born, who called me by his grace and was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul's life was arrested. The Paul of before, all that we mentioned before, Paul was pursuing, persecuting believers on the way to Damascus. But on that road in Acts 19, the Lord, risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared to him, and his life was never the same. Never the same. And I'm thankful tonight that God is still changing lives here in Bethany. And I want to believe at the end of this service, as we gather and apply what our response should be to the gospel that God's entrusted us with, that we're going to believe at the end of this service, praying especially, home where you might be watching us, here in the sanctuary, let's pray for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit on Saturday, on Sunday, and all four services, that lives who are living before, living in darkness, living in bondage, living chained to habits that only Jesus can break, this would be a week of God's rescue here in Bethany for many, many lives. I'm going to believe that tonight. I'm going to pray the rest of the week. I trust you have been and continue to be so in the days ahead, to allow God to help you to, and us to see a great harvest of souls. But when Jesus, who called him there on the road to Damascus, that whole theme that changes everything. That word "but" is it like an aversive, Pastor Stephen? It changes the mood. It changes the focus. But when? There was a before. But when? There's now a new beginning. And Paul says, but when that took place, his life turned around. So much so. And I admire Paul's desire to walk humbly before his God. For it says in verse 16, when God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Once again, not by man. That's the key theme. He didn't consult with anybody. He didn't try to draw any other insight from other individuals. This was God's unique call on Paul's life to the Gentile world. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He's 3 years. What a humble spirit. What took place? We're not sure. But I'm sure that because Paul knew that the gospel did not come from man, but from God through Jesus Christ, those 3 years were spent with Paul getting his heart, his life, his mind, his spirit, his will, everything that God wanted to do in his life, that even before he was born, Paul realized, God has set me apart. You've called me by his grace. And how many know, we'd say 3 years in Arabia. Who would want to be there for 3 years? But Paul, there was a purpose to it. You know what we find? With God, no time is wasted time. God is always preparing us. How many have found in your own life, you might not see everything happening as quickly as you might like to see, but those 3 years in Arabia was preparing Paul to be able to go into the Gentile world and preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that would be the preparation for his faith to be strengthened, to undergo beatings and shipwreck and being put down by people who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't consult with anyone immediately. He went to Jerusalem after 3 years. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, verse 18, to visit Cephas, or Peter, and remained with him 15 days, which is not a long time. So once again, his focus is on the gospel of Jesus Christ coming through Jesus Christ with not from man. I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. In other words, before God as my witness, this is my life's testimony. I haven't consulted anyone else. I'm not making this up as I go along. I'm not adding anything to this. It's the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, that we can receive through faith. And before, as I state this, I say it before God. But notice what takes place. He goes up after that. It says, I went up to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Interesting that Cilicia was the region. Watch what takes place. Paul not only goes before into the city of Jerusalem, where he was. His reputation, I'm sure, was known. But now he goes to the region of Tarsus. How many remember that's where Paul came from? It's not easy to go back home again, because I have news. They knew the before. They knew what he once was. And now he's standing before them. The persecutor of the church is now preaching the gospel of grace here in these regions. That's God's rescue story. And I'm thankful that can be ours tonight. I'm thankful that God rescued me. And you, who know him as your Savior, that you have a testimony to say to God, yes, people knew me when. They maybe wrote me off, and people in Tarsus would know his background and wonder what his motives were. But he says, when he went there, I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. So here's Paul coming to this region, expanding the gospel of Jesus Christ to places where he's going to be looked at constantly under a microscope to see exactly, is this the real thing? But notice what happens. Verse 23, Galatians 1. They only were hearing it said. Boy, things haven't changed, have they? Hearsay. Hearsay. Rumor. Oh, we heard about this guy. We know about Saul of Tarsus. We know where he's from. We know his background. They only were hearing it said. He who used to persecute us, I love this, is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And you can remember when you turn your back on God, when the last thing you ever thought you would do was come and find a place in Bethany or any church. You were running in the opposite direction. You were lost, you were away from God, you were living in sin, your life was bound by many, many different things. But that is what God can do in everyone's life. He can bring you from darkness to light. He can bring you from bondage into freedom. And what he did in the Apostle Paul's life, notice what happens. These people see this person here in Tarsus in these regions, and they said, this is the one who used to be the persecutor. He's the one that was the terrorist, and now he's an evangelist. Preaching the faith he once tried, not just to diminish, not just to put down. He was bent on total destruction of the church of Jesus Christ. But how many are glad Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So we see these people saying, now Paul, now he once was the persecutor. He once was trying to destroy the church, but now he's preaching the faith of the gospel. And I love what it says in verse 24. And they glorified God. They praised God because of the change in Paul's life. We should come with a fresh expectancy. I'm thankful that you go by, you walk the halls of Bethany, and you hear the cries of new young life, of babies and young kids. But you know what we need to hear more of, and I believe we're going to hear in these days ahead? Let's hear the heart cry of new life. Let's hear the cry, not of babies, but of men and women and young people and teenagers that would pass from the before and to the after of knowing Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Springfield area, people need the Lord. Every day we pass them by, and people are lost and they're searching. Some people don't know what they want out of life, but they're killing themselves to get it. I read on the subway wall years ago, I mentioned it before, a lot of things on the subway wall in New York City. But I remember seeing distinctly, somebody wrote, I'm hoping very soon to have something to hope for. The Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor, would write to the church at Colossae, Christ in you is the hope of glory. How many are glad we don't have just wishful thinking? We're not trying harder. Let's trust him more. Let's thank him for what he's done. We pass from darkness into light. We pass from bondage into freedom. And now Paul goes into chapter 2, and he says this. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. Verse 2, chapter 2. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, verse 3, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. That's very unique, especially in light of what Pastor Stephen shared last week about the demands and the focus on adhering to the Jewish law and the process and the traditions that were handed down to truly be one of God's children. I'm thankful that Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that it's by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet because of false brothers, they have a way of showing up all the time, don't they? Accusers, demotivators, discounters, get us off track, discouraging. Paul holds up this great reassurance. Even though they came, false brothers, perhaps the Judaizers, once again, that we learned about last week, secretly brought in, covert. They slipped in. They kind of wanted to spy us out. and the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. I'm thankful that the Gospel of John reminds us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no greater freedom. It's not just national, it's not political, it's not religious, it's a relationship. To be set free by Jesus is to be free indeed. And they wanted to kind of rob that or bring them back into bondage. Time and time, we'll see that as we learn through the book of Galatians. Later on, Paul would say, you were running so well, Galatians. You seem to be moving forward. Who stepped in front of you? Who betwixt you? Who deceived you to move away from the gospel of freedom and faith and grace by trying to go back and fulfill the works of the law? But I love what Paul says here. They tried to bring us into slavery. To them, we did not yield, verse 5, we did not yield in submission even for a moment. My paraphrase is, for some critics in our life, I'm not going to give them the time of day anymore. I'm not going to buy into their comments or their criticism or their put down, the innuendos about what you used to be or it's not real or that's just for Sundays or emergencies. Paul didn't give it a moment. He didn't yield even for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved. There's no other gospel we're establishing in the book of Galatians. And the gospel that was given was not from man, but it was divinely given to Paul uniquely, but then to the believers throughout that first century. And praise God, here we are in 2024, that all scripture is given by God. And it's God-breathed and acceptable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, that the man, the person of God, would be thoroughly equipped. How many are glad that the gospel taught you? Not tradition, not the ways of church dogma, but it taught you what is right. It taught you how to get right in Christ and how to stay right by the Holy Spirit. That's walk of faith. That's what Galatians wants us to see time and time again. I'm excited, Pastor Stephen, about the series in the book of Galatians. I gotta calm down maybe, you know? Enough about me. Focus on Jesus. It's a good discipline for me, Pastor Stephen, to have the text in front of me, though. So thank you. Because we'll leave it at that. Back to Galatians. Everybody's still here in the sanctuary, okay? That's always good. Fourteen years later, he takes a trip to Jerusalem. He brings with him Barnabas, others, Titus, a Greek, a Gentile. But they began to see the importance of what had taken place in Paul's life. They didn't require Titus to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But we recognize here in closing Paul's humility. He wants to make sure personally that he did not run in vain. He wants to always exalt and lift up Jesus, not himself. To God be the glory, he's saying, for all that he's done in his life. Sure, there was a before, but I'm a new creature in Christ. I share the good news of the gospel, the true gospel, the only gospel. And we recognize there will be opposition. People will always try to bring you back or add something. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith alone. It's Jesus plus nothing else. Pastor Stephen taught us so well last week. It's Jesus plus nothing else. He is enough. He's enough. Our hope, our confidence is in the finished work of Christ. We serve, I'm looking forward to Easter Sunday, we serve a risen Savior. He's alive, the same Christ that appeared to Paul, rose from the grave, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and we await his second coming. We recognize the importance. And here's the conclusion. I love the conclusion. It says this. Verse 7, Galatians 2, 7. On the contrary, Paul's not impressed by those who seem to be influential, wasn't looking for their credentials, who they were. Doesn't mean anything to him. But when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, to the Gentile world, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter, I love this, for his apostolic ministry to the circumcision, notice he's drawing it together, worked now through me for mine to the Gentiles. We need both. Because Romans says that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul's not ashamed of, both to the Jew and to the Greek. It's the power of God unto salvation, that the just shall live by faith. And Paul says, goes on to say, and when James, verse 9, and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars or leaders in the church, perceived that this grace was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me. Praise God, after all this said and done in this chapter, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. I'd ask the worship team to come up. Can we just bow our hearts for a moment and just reflect on the before and after in our lives? Can we say that we're thankful that there's no other gospel tonight? Can we rejoice in the God of our salvation afresh and anew? That we saw tonight the gospel not from men, Paul's life before and after, his conversion, his commission. We saw Paul's message of the gospel and ministry was recognized by the apostles. And together they join to the Jews, to the Gentiles, but also remember those in need in our surrounding areas. As the worship team would play, I invite you to find a place of prayer. Come even now. Maybe you want to say, thank you, God. Just step out even now. Thank you, Jesus, that my story is a rescue story. I don't live the same life I lived before. Let's spend a few moments thanking God for we're members of the household of faith, that we know Christ is our Savior and Lord, that we can walk by the Spirit. We can walk with faith and freedom. And we can find God helping us to live a transformed life. Thanks to Calvary, we don't go there anymore. We don't do the things we used to do. Our priorities are different. Our attitudes are different. You redeemed us from our futile way of life and brought us into new life with Christ. Let's spend a few moments, Bethany, where you are. Find a place of prayer. I'll turn it over to Pastor Stephen in a few moments because we want to focus in especially, as I said earlier. Let's believe, God, that we'd hear the cry of new life. Those receiving the gospel of freedom and forgiveness, knowing peace with God and the peace of God on this Resurrection Sunday. Find a place of prayer. Join with us as we rejoice that there's no other gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still able to save, to fill, to restore our lives. Praise his name. Praise his name. Jesus.